This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Happy holidays, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the people. And today, Takeover Tuesday. The people are you guys, the listeners. Questions, comments, experiences you've had, let me know. I talk about it here on Tuesdays. This podcast is completely supported by the listeners. You can support the podcast by just going on YouTube and hitting subscribe. I have a podcast. Every Friday's podcast comes out on YouTube. You can also go on Twitter at BrightsideHT. You can follow along there. You can also contribute to the podcast just by sending in an email with your questions, comments, or any experiences you've had. And you can do that at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And if you want to support the podcast monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, follow along there, sign up, and you can support it as little as a dollar a month or as much as you'd like. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters over, all my patrons over there supporting the podcast. This podcast, like I said, 100% supported by you guys monetarily or just words of encouragement. Thank you very much to everybody for participating, listening, following along, whether it's money to help support the podcast or just your encouragement. Like I said, your emails keeps me driving forward, sitting down to talk to myself a couple of times a week like this. And hopefully you guys enjoy me talking to myself. And apparently you do, because I get questions, comments, and experiences all the time. So thank you very much. Let's get to those questions, comments, and experiences. But first, thank you to our new Twitter followers. We have two this week. Slow week, holiday weekend, I guess. last few weeks have been huge, so it's bound to slow down sooner or later. This week, we have Norberto Niz, at Norberto underscore Niz. That's N-O-R-B-E-R-T-O, Niz. And we also have Home Cinemaphile, who is also at Home Cinemaphile on Twitter. Thank you both for following along. Questions, comments, experiences, send them on in, or just be that, podcast or listener ninja, home theater ninja, just sitting there listening along. But I would also like to thank Mark V. He was going for the sweep for the month. I gave away four discs this month. He got three of them. He won the final disc, the autographed Martian 4K disc, for autographed by Neil deGrasse Tyson. I gave it away last week in my Die Hard episode. He was the quickest to send in the correct response. He basically an hour after it dropped. I think it was a little over an hour, like 12:15 my time, I think he sent the answer in. And the answer that I was looking for was John McClane in this particular scene. I forget the timestamp, but it's towards the end of the movie when he's on the radio talking to Al and he's talking about his kids and he's looking at his wallet. Well, this is a two-way radio, so you have to push the button to talk. And while he's talking on the radio, holding the radio, the scene shifts to a shot of his hand or hands holding his wallet, and on the scene you could see both his thumbs holding the wallet open, and then the scene goes back to showing him talking on the radio with one hand on the wallet and one hand on the radio. And it's not even possible that you could be talking on the radio with both hands on your wallet. So I when my son and I, Joe, were watching the movie, I noticed it, and I was like, oh my god, look at that. And he's like, what? And I backed it up and he watched it again and he couldn't see it. He didn't see it. I backed it up a few times and he didn't see it. So I was like, that's the question. We actually had some other questions set up for the show to give something away, but I'll save those questions for next year. So I won't reveal them here. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And we went with that. And Joe really liked it because he couldn't see it either. But in the podcast, Joe even mentioned that you can Google it. And he was like apologizing to me that, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, but you didn't know what it was. So it was hard to Google it. But I guess he did look it up. It is in IMDb. They do list it there. That one, you know, continuity error they list in the details or whatever it is, facts. I can't remember what they call it on IMDb. But it is there, so other people have seen it. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. And Mark was the first one to answer. And he says, in his answer, he's like, he's holding his wallet with both hands while talking on the radio. You robbed another scene, DJ, LOL. I said, winner. And I don't like to think I ruin scenes. I enhance them. And he said, yep, you certainly enhance the way I look at movies. It's a good thing, though. A lot of people think it's easy to make movies like stuff like that while it reminds you how tricky it is. Good catch. I enjoyed finding that flaw. It's Die Hard, though, so still perfect. And I couldn't agree more, Mark. It is. There are other flaws in that movie that have been pointed out through movies that made us. You could go through IMDb. There's tons of flaws in movies, and that's what makes it fun. You watch these movies over and over. You hear and see things that you've never heard before. So that was pretty cool. He also sent the morning of, he sent an awesome picture of his Die Hard collection. He has the Die Hard disc. He had, Krampus Blu-ray he had there. And he also, the Lethal Weapon collection. So all these holiday movies there he had. He took this picture in front of his tree. Gorgeous picture. Very, very, I think it should be a Christmas card. But he said, it's time for my episode to come out. But thank you to everybody that did try. Thank you to Charles. He sent in the picture, sent everybody, Charles, Steve, Mike, Joe, Rob, Jeremy, Joseph, everybody that, if I'm forgetting your name that you participated, I apologize, but everybody that participated tried to win the prize. Thank you all for following along. Thank you all for trying. Thank you for participating. Really appreciate it. There will be more giveaways to come, but they're Easter eggs. So you got to listen. They're in there somewhere. I'm not going to tell you when, cause that takes the fun out of it. So, and there's some Easter eggs from a long time ago that nobody won. So we'll see, but I didn't have as many listeners then. So it's fun. We got people that love to play and love people that love to follow along. All right, we've got to get to this one. This has been a few weeks coming. G. Cornell, he sent me some timestamps for the X-Files audio. So X-Files came out, or he was watching it, and he found some timestamps, and he sent them to me, and I finally got around to sitting down and watching this episode, and it's X-Files Season 1, Episode 10, Fallen Angel. This originally aired November 19th, 1993. Now, I watched The X-Files on Fox live, and my wife and I enjoyed that. And then I also bought the Laserdiscs. I bought quite a few seasons on Laserdisc. I'd have to go back through my Laserdisc collection to see them. And it was a nice upgrade between the Laserdisc and what you got on Fox. But then again, Fox was also, this was one of the first, I believe it was one of the first movies to stamp the, not movies, TV shows, to stamp Dolby, in Dolby Surround underneath the screen. Every time it aired, it would say across the bottom of the screen in the middle, I believe it would say in Dolby Surround sound. So that was really cool. As a home theater fan back in the 90s, you saw that, you wanted to crank your system up. It was a lot. That's what made me want to buy it on Laserdisc. Going back to this, I haven't been back to X-Files in probably since those days. I really enjoyed the series, but it's not like one that I would go back and revisit until now. Watching this episode was a lot of fun. I did watch the entire episode, but here are the timestamps and what I found. Before that, I thought the picture blew me away. I'm going to talk a little bit about the picture and the sound first. The picture blew me away, to be honest with you. Like I said, this aired in 93, and the picture was really, really crisp. Very, I think remastered in HD. I watched it on Hulu. So I got it for free. I get it for free on Hulu. I get the entire, all 11 seasons, I think it is. I get them for free on Hulu. The surround sound is in Dolby surround sound on Hulu. And I actually thought, I listened to, like I said, I listened to everything at reference level to start. If I'm doing a movie in review, I watch the entire movie at reference level. And then after the fact, I never take a movie and back it off, but I will bump it up to try and get it to be like the Thor Ragnarok story. So you try to get it to what it should be at, would give it a little bit more dynamic punch. This here was a little bright and a little loud too. I thought it was on Hulu in Dolby surround sound. I upmix it. My receiver automatically upmixes it to the, you know, use all the channels, and it's still considered Dolby surround sound, but it's Dolby surround upmixing. And I thought it was a little too loud, so I backed it off by 5 dB, and it sounded really, really nice. That sounded to me like what I'm used to listening to at reference level. So I thought that was, it was a little bright, but then once I backed it off to minus 5 dB, it sounded really, really nice. I also found out that G. Cornell was watching this on Amazon. So I went back and I watched these scenes on Amazon, the same, but I had to pay for it. It was like $2 or whatever, $2.99 for the episode. And I found the sound to be not nearly as good. At reference level, it sounded a little bit flat, a little less dynamic, so it wasn't as loud. It's not in Dolby surround, not true Dolby surround. It's just in PC. It's not as good. I didn't think it sounded as good. The picture I thought was identical on Amazon Prime. So I really like the Hulu version, and the sound I thought was way more dynamic. I actually had to back it off. So moving to the scenes that he listed at 5 minutes, 44 seconds, I called it lasers. So, this scene here actually reminds me of the setup in First Blood, where the National Guard is like they're quarantining off the area that John Rambo's in, and you'll know it if you go to this on either Hulu or Amazon. You'll see what I'm talking about. But the military has set up a barrier around this downed, quote, meteorite, as they say later in the episode, or it's an aircraft, or we all know it's a UFO. But Mulder's investigating, and he's coming up through the woods, and he comes up on these lasers, like a laser fence in the woods. But what's cool about this scene is the voices of the soldiers all around you, and it starts almost exactly at the 5:44 mark. And at first, it doesn't seem like much out of the ordinary, like, oh, okay, normal surround sound. But you, as the scene plays out, you start to hear the voices moving around. They're coming at you from different parts of the room, but it's coming at you from parts with no speakers. So I think with my upmixing too, using the full surround sound, using all the channels, even the overheads, it's placing voices in places that speakers don't exist. And like I said, as it plays out, you'll actually hear stuff coming discreetly from your speakers. Like even my rear channels, my side channels, they sounded like you could hear a voice there, which actually emphasized the fact that I could hear a voice a little forward of that in between, you know, in towards the front of the room, but not at the front of the room. It was really, really cool. And I think that's what G. Cornell's looking for. He's actually asking me, what do you hear? What do you hear? He wants to know what I hear. And then we're going to have a discussion through email that I'll tell you guys about next week, because he's going to hear this and then obviously reply to me. But yeah, it was really cool. And again, this came out in 93. So Dolby Surround then, upmix it to today, sounds really good. Really good. So at 1943, squeezed and sifted, and we have Colonel Henderson here is on the radio. He's in like a tent area. And he says on the radio, he's like, you know, they're going to, every inch of ground is being squeezed and sifted. But like the previous scene, you can hear voices around him and around the room or in the tent. It's all military. And it's just like that. You can hear the voices, but they're not discreetly in a channel. They're floating in places you don't have speakers. There's also kind of a, I call it a ping noise from like Hunt for Red October, but that's coming from front center. And it's like hovering under Colonel Henderson. You can hear it. But then the scene shifts to a high school turned into a shelter. So, you know, like when something like this happens in your town and you need everybody to hunker down, you'll turn the gymnasium into this makeshift, you know, triage, and people are on beds and stuff. So Scully and Mulder are walking through there and you can hear the different voices around the room. But what I liked about this scene was when you go from Colonel Henderson in his like makeshift headquarter tent area, you hear the voices around you and the scene shifts right to the high school gymnasium and the voices change ever so slightly and you can hear it. It's a different ambient sound. But what's really cool is this, Scully and Mulder are talking to this character who I guess her husband died and she needs to find the body. Her name is, Mrs. Wright, I believe. And she kind of yells at them. And you know, when something like that happens in the movies and somebody yells at you and be like, I said no. And then like the whole room goes quiet, right? Like whatever she said. And it's like the whole room quiets down like, oh boy, somebody's mad, right? Well, all that chatter and all of the speakers going on all around you went away for like a couple of seconds. So whatever line she yells out, she goes, no, that wasn't it. But she yells something out and then everything goes quiet. And it's like the whole room got quiet. It was without all of that chatter going on around, I don't think that would have really played out as well. And again, this is all subtle stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. At 24:47, I called this one nondescript because this scene here wasn't as impressive to me. So sorry, G. Cornell, maybe I missed what you're looking for here, but here's what I heard. So Scully and Mulder are walking down a hospital hallway and they're talking to each other and you see some like orderlies or staff run up from behind them. So they're coming at you and they run by them on the left side of your screen. But the sound as they pass by, so now they're off screen, you would have expected that sound would have panned to the left rear of your room because that's where they ran by. But it actually panned to the right rear. So that was a little off-putting. And then they're standing like at the doorway as all of these soldiers, wounded soldiers, are coming through on like gurneys. They're being trucked in and they're all burned up and they're all dead or just about to be dead. And there's a lot of sound, again, people talking all around you. But that one I felt was a little bit forced because I felt like the scene wasn't as accurate as what I felt like in the other two scenes before this, in that Scully and Mulder are standing there, but the people are all running by in front of them. So if we had sounds panning across the front of the room, I would have understood that. But the people going around them, why would people just be standing behind them talking about this stuff? They would be actually moving to help. So I felt like that one there was like, okay, we're going to put more ambient speaking sounds around them. But I didn't feel like it was natural to the scene. At 36:44, though, we get Secure the Roof, I called it. And that's called, it's kind of the same as the first scene. But the military is now coming in and they're trying to secure this warehouse type building. And there are voices being heard all around you as they move into position, but there's but the dialogue is locked center. So we're getting that, and that kind of emphasizes that there are sounds of, and you can kind of make out what they're saying, but you really can't because there's so much of it. But it is a pretty cool little setup from 1993, how they move that sound around the room. And I was impressed with the picture quality as well. So I love those scenes. I think my wife and I, we watched this back in the 90s all the way through. We may revisit it just on Hulu. From what G. Cornell says, he's actually going to be going. He bought the set. He said, he also sent me another thing. I hadn't seen this. I was going through the emails to see which ones. And I found, he said, season one, episode 9, Space. He said, Ed Lautner plays Colonel Belt. He dies at the end of the show and we see jets fly over at his funeral service, but not in the missing man formation, which would have been appropriate as he was once an astronaut, something I was looking for. And that was pretty, I literally just saw that email sitting down to do the podcast today because it must have slipped by with the other emails. Sorry about that. But yeah, so little things like that are pretty cool. But he also said he streamed the entire first season on Amazon Prime and he's going to continue on Blu-ray because he ordered the 11 season collection. So yes, it is 11 seasons. G. Cornell, if you have the opportunity, if you have Hulu, try Hulu. I'd love to hear how that sounds to you compared to your Amazon Prime feed, as well as compared to the Blu-ray. Because I know the Blu-ray comes with DTS 5.1. So that I would imagine would be even better than Hulu. The picture might be pretty close because streaming 1080p is pretty close to Blu-ray 1080p. So. That would be worth investigating. All right, moving on. But G. Cornell, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate that. That was a lot of fun. Send me your scenes. Send me your experiences. If I can experience them myself, I will. And I mean that by not only do I have the content, but two, do I have the time to get to the content? But I'll definitely talk about it here so everybody can get a chance to experience it for themselves. Martin Anderson says, sure, DJ, you're not trying to get us to buy a Kaleidoscape, but stop talking about it. You're making me want to buy one. Just kidding. Love your show. Keep up the good work, but I still want a Kaleidoscape. So no problem, Martin. I am not trying to get people to buy anything. I'm not trying to get you to buy a Kaleidoscape. I'm not trying to get you to buy any products that I talk about that I own. I'm just telling you about, and we'll get more on that. So I'm going to wrap up the podcast because we've kind of gotten away from the mission statement, if you will. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. John Z, Brightside HD, highly recommend Welcome to Earth on Disney Plus, especially episode 1, Base Heaven. The link isn't in the show notes, but that is in the show notes as a recommendation. I would like to check that out. I'm looking for more content because I'm looking for more experiences. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm on vacation this week, so I'm trying to take in as much content as I can. Loving The Witcher, enjoying that. I'm going through movies and scenes that I just haven't sat down and been able to enjoy. Oh, I saw The Matrix, the latest Matrix, Matrix Resurrection. I really, really enjoyed it a lot. I loved the presentation. I watched it on HBO Max. I didn't go to the theater. I thought the sound was pretty good. I can't wait for the disc. I think it's going to be a lot better on disc. I thought it was a little bit flat on HBO Max, but that's expected with streaming. That's the sound that you get. But I thought the picture was really good. Again, it will be better on physical media, but I thought HBO Max did a decent job with their 4K and the HDR. I thought it looked good. So that's just a couple of examples on things I've been experiencing this week. BJ Horton, 2005, says, at Brightside HD, ha! He says, he sent a screen grab, if you start The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers Extended, on December 31st at 21:13:19, you will start the new year with Theoden saying, so it begins. And that's at 9:13:19 p.m. So at 9:13 p.m. in 19 seconds, start Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Don't hit pause for a pee break, John. You won't make it. You'll screw it all up. You just got to let it run because at midnight, it'll say, Theoden will say, so it begins. And here comes 2022. Can't wait. Only because I enjoy 2022. I enjoy New Year's. I am not trying to wish 21 away, but because you don't want to wish your life away. All right. BJ Horton also says, at First Reflect, at Brightside HT, recommend a sound test, so I got to have some listening fun. Seating by DJ. So he's in the process of building his theater. He's very raw. He has just drywall, not even all the way up, and he's doing a sound test. But he set a bucket down upside, a 5-gallon bucket upside down in the middle of the plywood floor. That's all it is. And just wanted to listen to, he had to listen to something. So that's what I did. I told him a long time ago. I told you guys a long time ago as well. When I was building my theater, I sat down and watched Fast and the Furious on a bucket, the entire movie. And it much the same way. I had hardwood, like, plywood floor, raw walls, just the spackle, just put the speakers in with the wires running everywhere. But the TV had just arrived. My 65-inch TV had just arrived, and I couldn't wait to experience it. And I sat down and watched it with all of those sounds reflecting all around the room, because there was no, the only sound absorption in there was me. That was it. So, but still enjoyed it. Still had a blast. Rob H. says, Merry Christmas Eve, DJ. @AVRant_Tom already made sure my Christmas present to myself made it in plenty of time. And he included a video of Optimus Prime, his Optimus Prime toy that, and I use toy in quotations because this is not a toy. It's fantastic. It's this Optimus Prime that automatically transforms. And in the video, Rob says, transform, I think, and then he transforms into the robot, and then Rob says and roll out, and then Optimus transforms back into the semi and rolls out. It is an awesome toy. He bought this a while ago and had to have it shipped to Tom because they didn't ship to Canada, so then Tom shipped it up to Canada for Rob, and it's an amazing toy. Super expensive, But I actually think it's worth it. If I don't know if he's told anybody how much it was, so I don't want to say anything, but it was super expensive, but I don't think it was that expensive for what you get. And it is a collector's item, and I would have bought one if I had the ability to get to it, but you had to sign up, and Rob loves this stuff. I would definitely want one, but I'm not going to pay the eBay prices people are going for. But I did link in, if you're on Twitter, I don't know if the link works if you're not on Twitter, because I linked the Twitter video in the show notes. So you can check it out if you're on Twitter, but it is really, really cool. I showed a bunch of people at my family Christmas party. I was like, especially the little kids, I'm like, check this toy out. And they were all like, they showed me their remote control cars, and I'm like, look at what my buddy Rob got. And they're like, oh man. So pretty cool. Thanks, Rob. Really appreciate that. That was an awesome video. Made a lot of little kids' Christmas. Theo M. on YouTube says, fun show as always, talking about my third annual Die Hard, a Christmas tradition with my son Joe. Thanks, Theo. Really appreciate that. I had so much fun sitting down with my son Joe again. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for participating. I really do look forward to that. We, as you can tell by listening, we actually had a lot of fun. And we do. The first couple of years, Joe was very nervous about it, I would say. He doesn't like to, you know, he's kind of shy, doesn't like to be recorded, doesn't like to have his picture taken. So I had to pull stuff out of him. And this year it was a lot easier. And he thought I was going to edit stuff. And I'm like, no, I think that was a good show. That was a fun time. Two guys hanging out, talking Die Hard. And we are looking forward to next year. He is looking forward to next year, I should say. So we're making plans on something fun we can do. So with Die Hard for next year. So, all right, now let's get to, we're going to wrap the show up with this home theater experience. This is what this podcast is all about. This is what the mission statement of this podcast was. So very quickly, I founded this podcast because I couldn't find anybody that talked about the scenes, that talked about the experiences. Always love doing that. As I said to Brent Butterworth, I was like, I used to read his reviews, and the reviews used to come out about a movie and be like, oh, this scene here was really good. And they'd give you one scene on a movie that had, a DVD that had just come out, or a laser disc, or whatever it was, right? And it would come out like months later, and you'd read that one scene, and then I'd go to my theater and try to recreate it and see if I heard what they were talking about. Nobody was doing that. That's how I found AV Rant. They were talking Jurassic Park, and I saw that, and I was like, ooh, Jurassic Park in 4K. I want to hear what they think of that. And it was a quick blurb, much like those blurbs in the magazines from years ago. So that's what I was looking for. That's what I want to talk about. Well, I've been doing this for 2 years now, and as you guys know, the podcast has evolved a bit, and we get in. I'm talking to HT guys, talking to AV Rant. Now I'm starting to talk to more and more people coming on about products, about this, about that. But my mission statement, my point of this entire podcast has always been about the experience that we have in the theater. If you look on my website, the podcast that's about the experiences, you look on my Twitter feed, my description or whatever, my bio, the podcast about the experiences. I open the show, the podcast about the sights, the sounds, the scenes. What I have dropped recently was actually saying about the experiences, because I added in the people, because I've been talking to more people. Well, when you talk to people, you start to talk about products. You talk about products, and it sounds like the podcast is coming off as like it's talking products. That's not what I do. That's not what this podcast is about. Doesn't mean I can't talk about products. I can talk about products and how I experience them. And that's what I'm going for. And that's what this podcast is about. And I want to get back to that a little bit. As an example, that conversation I talked about last week about Brent Norris. So he just replied this week. He said, I just finished the podcast, which you mentioned my preference for the Sony. The conclusion that you and Rob came to, I am in 100% agreement. I love the commercial cinema look, and to me, the Sony provides that film-like image. The JVC definitely has a more dynamic OLED picture, so I definitely understand why some prefer that look. That being said, I'm a big fan of both. I've owned many JVCs dating back to the RS1. Choices are a wonderful thing. Keep up the good work, and thanks again. And just if you're not familiar with this, so Brent had said a couple weeks ago that he bought a Sony, a newer Sony projector, the 715, I believe it was, and he used that to replace his JVC NX7, I think it was, an NX7, and he replaced that, and he found that was a better, he liked the Sony better, which contradicts a lot of people online and, you know, that have the opinion that the JVC is better. Well, that's what I want to talk about here. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not pitting the Sony against the JVC. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. And that's what's funny is I've received emails from people and DMs from people saying, no, the JVC is better. This is wrong. I said to my wife at one point, I'm like, how am I getting this feedback? Like I'm a bad guy. Like I'm wrong. I go, I'm down the middle. I'm not saying Sony's better. I have a Sony. I like the Sony better, but I was saying they're close. So anyways, my point is it's the experience you have. The experience Brent here is talking about is the experience he gets out of the Sony is better to him. And he puts it perfectly in saying that he sees how that OLED picture that the JVC gives, people could prefer that. And that's what Rob prefers. That's how Rob and I came to this Rob is actually the one that I can give the quote to, in that he's the one that said that the Sony, quote, Sony has a more cinema-like look and the JVC has a more OLED look. That Rob came to that conclusion by us going back and forth. Like, we were literally trying to figure out how can two things be so far off, but yet have people be like, yes, and yes on this. I love this one better than this one. But yet there were specs and stuff that were, as Rob put, were so far off. And they're not super far off, but in the point that we're talking about here. So that got me to thinking even more stuff. I'm like, then I was thinking about how different experiences. How has my experiences been enhanced? How have things gotten better over the years? I've been doing this since 88. and all the experiences I've had. So I started thinking about like different things that have upgraded, not just things I've bought, but how we went from VHS to Laserdisc to DVD to Blu-ray and blah, blah, and so forth, and all the different sound formats. And then Steve George, while I'm thinking of this, I see a tweet from Steve George that says 4K UHD hasn't completely ruined the 1080p Blu-ray experience, but boy, is it noticeable going from lower res to higher. Just watch the 1080p Blu-ray and about to watch the sequel to that movie in 4K. The difference is huge, not to mention the jump from 5.1 to Atmos. And I replied, I'm like, funny you mentioned this. I was just thinking of the biggest improvements I've seen or heard in 30 plus years of home theater. And I said 1080p was going from standard def to 1080 was bigger than 1080 to 4K with HDR. I think the audio jumps have been less impressive, but steadier over the years. And he said he completely agrees, but there is still an appreciable difference between 1080p and 4K with HDR, especially in the specific case mentioned. I watched 1080p original and then 4K sequel, and the difference is pretty dramatic. Also, I had an email this week, not an email, I'm sorry. I saw a tweet from Kaleidoscape. What do you get when you build a private cinema with Sony, Stewart, and Kaleidoscape? Check out the audio of it. And this is, it's the home theater with a massive 170-inch screen, 177 speaker drivers, and a 10,000-lumen projector complete with Martin Logan in-wall speakers. This was all on Twitter. It was from Audio Advice, at Audio Advice on Twitter. You can go there and see it. I retweeted it, and I replied. I go, I have a Sony Electronics 4K VPL VW295ES, a Stewart Film Screen Studio Tech 100 fixed 110-inch screen, and I'm saving up for my first Kaleidoscape piece. So hopefully someday soon I can answer this question, albeit from the lower end of the spectrum compared to this fabulous setup. So my point in tweeting that was you don't have to have this great system to enjoy some of these things. And this tweet here actually reminded me of my conversation with Brent Butterworth, in that when I asked him, like, doesn't go into these fantastic theaters ruin the experience you have in yours? And he said no. If you go back and listen to that interview, he said no. He's like, the theaters that I've been in, some of them, they aren't even as good. He goes, a home theater enthusiast with a $5,000, $10,000 system, like for their entire system, he's saying, can be better than some of these giant theaters. Because maybe they're not tuned right, or maybe it's more about that experience that you can deliver. It's not necessarily about all of those, the little nicety things that you think are going to make it better. So I thought that was pretty cool. But I got some other replies to my tweet about that Kaleidoscape system. And Mark V said, yours is better than mine. LOL, we're all on a home theater journey toward a Kaleidoscape, but some of us never get there. Ha, ha, ha. At least until my kids graduate college anyways. Justin Van Camp said, looks great. I'm kind of jealous. Herschel Frierson says, I just bought a Kaleidoscape and I love it. Just need for the Marvel movies to go on sale so I can buy all of them. I do have them on 4K disc, however. And then Kaleidoscape Partners said, happy holidays, and sent a link to kaleidoscape.com for a limited time pricing. So then on top of that, we Graham Cole tweeted at First Reflect and at Brightside HT, cool video about IMAX Enhanced for Dolby Vision versus Dolby Vision 4K disc. And this is also in the show notes, the link to this YouTube video. And it's basically, it's a side-by-side. So this gentleman put two identical TVs side-by-side. They were 55-inch TVs, and he played the IMAX Enhanced on one, and he played a 4K Blu-ray on the other. That's the Disney Plus IMAX Enhanced. And this one here is really really emphasizes the whole idea of the experience in your room. So the IMAX enhanced version is obviously taller, and then the 4K Blu-ray is got the black bars at the top and the bottom. Identical televisions right next to each other. Highly recommend watching this video. Thanks, Graham. Really appreciate it. This is a really good video for exactly what this podcast is about. So the 4K Blu-ray, it's not compressed. It has Dolby Vision. It's a better, it's objectively, and we're going to get to that word in a second, objectively a better version of the film. But IMAX Enhanced gives you a better experience because it's opening up the image. There's even an example in here, I think it was Black Panther, that the IMAX Enhanced is actually a brighter image. It looked brighter on the screen, and the gentleman doing the example, doing this, AB, he actually switched from TV to TV so you could see that it wasn't the settings on the televisions or anything. It was actually that in Black Panther, I think, was the only one he said that actually was a little bit brighter than the other version, than the 4K disc. So all the other ones, they matched up pretty, visually, they matched up pretty close. My point in all this is it's about the experience in your room. Okay. You go to AV Rant, you go to HT Guys or whoever you consider to be the experts that are helping you build your room to get the best possible options for you to set up the experience that you have in your room. That's what I want to do here. That's what I talk about here is the experiences. Like I said, when I started the podcast, this is where you come once your room is set up or you're in the like you want to know about scenes to test out your system. John Z at Johnny Speakers put it a couple of weeks ago, put it awesome in a tweet. He said, when he asked, he's like, I have a question to you and your listeners. I put this question out a couple of weeks ago. Do you often feel like you buy movies to enjoy your system, or did you buy your system to enjoy movies to their full potential? That question got a lot of feedback. Because people were talking about like, oh, I definitely do it this way or that way. Carl has friends that, because a lot of our listeners, and I said, most of my listeners are going to listen for stuff that goes boom, because that's why you're listening to this podcast. The demographic of this podcast is going to be people that want to hear stuff go boom, because most people don't watch a love story for the sound. So why would you come to this podcast to hear about like Love Actually sound effects? You wouldn't, right? It doesn't make sense. That's not what this podcast is about. It's about the boom stuff, and that's where you're going to get that. Doesn't mean you can't watch that in your those scenes in your theater, which my wife and I often do, because we want to experience going to the theaters on a date night, but we never have to leave the house. And that's what you do that for. But that's not what makes a theater go, wow, it like really shows off a theater. And it's, you know, it's just not what you would do. So I'm trying to think of other love story movies. And off the top of my head, I can't even think of action movies right now. My head's a spinning. It's the experience that we have in the theater. That's what I'm talking about here. So when I talk about like the Lumigen, I'm talking about my experience that I've had in the theater. You want to know the nitty gritty? I always say, do your research. You want a Lumigen? Go look up a Lumigen. You can ask me what I think of mine. I love it. I'll tell you why I love it. I'll give you descriptions on what I'm seeing, what I saw. That's the experience that I have. So that gets me to kind of like the question of, what are some of the biggest experiences you've had? Some of the biggest jumps you've had? So here's a bunch of differences. There's Dolby Vision versus HDR 10+. What's the big difference there? HD DVD versus Blu-ray. We all remember that. What was the big difference there? Beta versus VHS. THX versus non-THX. Atmos versus DTSX or Oro. IMAX Enhanced, just flat out IMAX Enhanced. What does that mean? What is it like? How does that enhance your experience? Sony versus JVC, as we've talked about in the past, there's a million of them. But what were the big, I want you guys to tell me, what was the biggest jump in your home theater experience, in your tenure in home theater? What do you remember being the biggest jump in quality? It can be sound, it can be picture, it can be all of them. And I'll give you some of my examples. So if somebody asks me this off the top of my head, like when this stuff comes to me, if you said sound, what was the biggest leap in sound that I've ever experienced in my home theater? And it was when I went from my Onkyo TX NR 1030. I bought that thing right away. It was part of the first line of Atmos receivers. I could not wait to get that thing. And I was like, that is awesome. It could run 11 channels. I could have 4 overheads, 7 around me, but you had to have an amplifier to do it. So I ended up getting an Emotiva EPA 5, and I ran my 5 mains with it. And I loved that thing. I was like, wow, that was great. But the biggest jump, it wasn't going to that. It was going from that to my Denon X6300H. And here's what happened. I had somebody out to the house because I'd never had a sound expert out to my house. Over the years, I've always done sound for myself. I had an SPL meter back in the day. I did all of my readings myself. I did everything myself. So with the Onkyo, I did the same thing. So I had this guy come out and I said, what should I get for speakers to upgrade speakers? How can I upgrade my system? What would I get my biggest bang for my buck? And he said, you could do with the amplifier. You don't need the amplifier for one. He goes, you can get a Denon. And he told me about this Denon, the X6300H. He said, you can get this. It'll have DTSX because the Onkyo didn't have DTSX at the time. And he goes, in this 6300H will run all of your speakers. I go, oh, I don't want to use my amplifier. And he goes, no. He goes, you don't need it. He goes, you're not. And he started to explain, like Rob H and Tom do over at AV Rent, you don't need the amplification because your room isn't big enough. You're not sitting far enough away from your speakers to need that amplification. The amplification from the Denon will be fine. And it has on it natively 11.1, 11.2, actually. It'll actually run everything. I'm like, all right, I'll try it out. So I took his advice. He could have upsold me on a bunch of speakers and a bunch of other stuff. And I didn't even buy the Denon from him. He just came out a consultation and was nice enough to give me this advice. So I took it. And I wanted to, I bought the Denon, I tried it out and loved it. And because I loved it so much, I returned mine and bought one off of him at like $100 more so that he would get the profit from it. Do you understand what I mean? Like, so I actually went on Amazon and I bought the Denon right away, right after he left the house. I bought the Denon, tried it out. The thing blew me away. And it was like a month later, I'm like, I feel bad. So I ordered one from him. And when it came in, I returned my Denon. But the other one, the one I bought from him, I just left it in the box and sent it back to Amazon, got my money back from that, paid the extra $100 to pay him because I wanted to give him the sale because he literally sold me on it. Now, if it was crap and I didn't hear an upgrade on the Amazon, I would have just returned it and kept my Onkyo. But the upgrade going to Odyssey EQ, the Odyssey was so good. The sound upgrade on this is so good that to this day, it's the greatest sound uptick I've ever heard. And my wife, this is the experience I had when my wife thought I bought a new projector. I came down, played some scenes for her, and she's like, did you get a new projector too? Because it looks so much better. And this gets into that thing that, you know, Tom and Rob talk about all the time where it's like, it's all encompassing, but it plays tricks on your mind. It's like, you think something's better, so you think everything's better. And it's not. And it's, I've experienced that many times. But this one here for sound is by far the biggest uptick I've ever experienced. And that that includes going from 5.1 to Atmos. It's an upgrade, but it's not that big of an upgrade because you can run really nice 5.1 sound. So, or any object bass. Going from 5.1 to object bass sound isn't that big of an upgrade. Your better upgrade is obviously Odyssey, like a nice room correction. The Onkyo 1030 didn't have any, didn't have as good of room correction. Another upgrade that I had was really nice was sound dampening my entire back wall with 6 inches of insulation. Made my center channel sound better. Not as big as this, what I'm talking about here. But I now my Emotiva amp is sitting in storage. It's just in the closet. It's not doing anything. Maybe someday I'll get, you know, separates and I'll get to use it because I want to, but it does, I don't have to. But it's stuff like that. Another huge upgrade was probably like picture wise was finally getting a 4K projector. Going from 1080p to 4K with a projector was that was a big upgrade. But other big upgrades was going from VHS to Laserdisc, Dolby Surround to AC3, DVD to Blu-ray was pretty big. Blu-ray to 4K is pretty big, but not as big. I didn't feel like those were as big as going like the sound one. I have, going from SD to HD. Back in the day. So going from SD standard def to high definition was a huge upgrade for me. So I was watching standard def on a 32-inch television. My first HD television was a 65-inch rear projection, Mitsubishi rear projection TV. That was a huge upgrade. That's why I sat down and watched all of Fast and the Furious on a bucket, because I find like I had no TV in the room at the time because I was building the theater. The screen showed up, the TV showed up. I turned it on, connected it. There you go. And I watched an entire movie. That was the first time I went to HD, and that wasn't even in HD. The DVD at the time was just, I might have been Laserdisc, I think, but the DVD at the time was just regular, it was DVD quality. We hadn't even gotten to the Blu-ray quality, but going to HD, finding some HD content on that was a huge upgrade from a 32-inch standard definition television. But those are all of the experiences I'm talking about. So that's why when I get the Lumigen, that was a big jump to me. That is up there with those jumps. And is that for everybody? No. There are other ways to do it, and there are other ways to get big jumps, but I think like minor upgrades on the other end of the spectrum are like going to my Stewart screen. That's a minor upgrade. And before that I had a Daylight Perf. I can't remember what the model number was, but I had a Daylight screen. It was a perforated screen for the obviously acoustically transparent. But it was perforated. That's what I wanted, because when you went, that's what you had at a movie theater. When you went up front, they had the little dots on it. That's what I wanted. But I went to the Stewart screen. It was a nice upgrade, but it's a minor upgrade. And I'm not going to swear you up and down that you have to have a Stewart screen, or not even a Stewart screen, but a non acoustically transparent screen to get the best picture. But if you're going to get into the nitty gritty, I will say that a regular screen is better than acoustically transparent. It's not a big difference. I think Atmos DTS:X over 5.1, this is a minor upgrade. Dolby Vision over HDR 10 Plus, a minor upgrade. If it's an upgrade at all, they're both capable of pretty much the same thing. So they're all little tiny tweaks. And that's what gets you into, when you talk the minor stuff or even the bigger stuff, you get into the word objectively. And like when Rob and I talk, we objectively, this is true over this. And those objectively things are facts. Subjectively, that's where we get into my world, the experiences. How can I set up my experience? And it, everything is subjective. My opinion on all of this, my entire podcast is subjective because I come from the art world. And everything is subjective. Even these objective things are subjective. Because if you tell me that like one product is objectively better than the other, well, yeah, but in my environment, it's subjectively worse. So is that, you know, and it's like, is that's my opinion. So just because it is objectively better, it might not suit my needs. So subjectively, it's not as good, whatever that is. I'm not picking on any product. So this podcast, when I talk products, when I talk about all of this stuff, it's all subjective. It's all how you experience it. Even getting down to a Harmony remote, how do I get that to make my experience so much better, be able to hit a button and have everything happen the way it should happen? That is all part of the experience. It's not a Control 4. I want a Control 4. I want a Kaleidoscape. I want this. I want screen masking. I right now have manual masking because it makes my experience better. But my experience would be subjectively better if I could just sit there and have the screen adjust itself. That would be awesome. Objectively, that is better, flat out. But subjectively, I mean, once you're into the movie, what's the difference? They're both masked, right? So who cares? So all of that is just to say that I don't want people to lose sight of that. I don't want to lose sight of that. I've lost sight of that a little bit, talking about products, talking about all these things, because I have so much fun with this stuff. That is part of the experience. Sitting behind that rat's nests of wires behind my theater rack is actually fun to me. And I love doing that. Every now and then I'll just rip everything out and reconnect everything, try to make it look neat, because that's a fun experience to me. There's nothing that's off limits on this podcast, but the general idea of this podcast is to talk about scenes, talk about experiences, and all of the fun stuff that we do in our theater once it's set up. So keep sending me the questions, keep sending me the comments. I'll tell you about my experience as best I can. We'll talk about the scenes. We'll have fun. That's where I want this podcast to go in 2022. Continue to push it. Continue to have fun with these scenes. I'll be back on Friday. I'm going to be talking about what else but Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, the first half. Because I started the year saying I was going to go through all of that in The Hobbit, but, you know, things happen. You get sidetracked. You have different experiences. And I do love watching Lord of the Rings on the week of Christmas. I've been doing that for years just because they're so long and you just sit down. I used to watch all three of them, extended versions and everything. So we're going to do that on Friday. I'm going to break down some scenes, talk about my experience with it, have some fun with it. And then the following week, I'm going to do a 2021 wrap up. So you'll see why we put that off a little bit. Scheduling conflicts. But yeah, that's my plan for this week. But until then, everybody, send me your experiences. Send me your questions, your comments. G. Cornell, thanks for that great X-Files experience. Really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. I can't do that every time with everybody's stuff, but if you just send me a timestamp or a scene or something, I'll check it out as best I can, or at least pass it on. So have a great week, everybody. I'll be back on Friday. If you don't check that out, everybody have a happy new year. I'm going to enjoy my vacation, and I'm going to be pushing play a ton, and I suggest you do too. So get out of here and go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.